Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, August 22nd. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on the memorial of the Queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning. And first of all, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to you, our Relevant Radio family. It was another absolutely amazing Answer the Call Summer Pledge Drive. Unbelievable support. Thank you for allowing us to continue to bring Christ to the world through the media for yet another 3 months. Once again, like we've done it so many times, we made our goal of $3 million. We did it in dramatic fashion late Friday night with the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary in this month dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Here are the very happy totals, $3,104,000 from 15,125 donations from you, our Relevant Radio family. And keep in mind, the average gift was only $205. We so much appreciate you and all the great, great support. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. I am overflowing with gratitude yet this morning for another amazing pledge drive.
Hooray! Hooray, indeed. Oh, what a great pledge drive. Always comes down to the wire, but we get there with the world's greatest audience. Father Rocky likes to say with the Catholic audience, you know, they'll show up, not till the last minute, but they'll show up. So Friday was a huge day. Fun to see, needed to see, but just wonderful to see. And our gratitude after a week of asking and asking and asking. We teach our kids, right, to say not only please, but thank you. So thank you so very much for your great support to help us to meet that need. And, you know, if you missed the opportunity, you can still get through to at 877-291-0123 or pledge online at relevantradio.com. And those numbers and website roll off the tongue so easily. Do want to remind folks the pledge drive's over. We're back to regular programming, but if folks missed out and would like to, they can still give. It's not too late, John.
Well, I was in for a little treat when I came into the office this morning, Glenn, because when I came in, there were 24 roses right out by my office, but oh, they're not for me. They're actually for Mary. John bought them just like he said. And we have that picture of the roses that John brought in posted on our social media. You can see it at the Morning Air Facebook page and Twitter page, showing that we did get those roses for Mary. And thank you, because all of our listeners, they donated on those first two hours of Morning Air. And so we wanted to say thank you to Our Lady and to our listeners.
That was the most gratifying roses I think I've ever bought, just to be able to say thank you to our Blessed Mother here in this month of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. As promised, you, our listeners, came through both hours. We met our goals on Friday, and we were instrumental, a big part of the way that we were able to finish and meet our overall network goal late Friday night. Our Morning Air family did a fantastic job, nearly 600 gifts there in the morning, almost just missed $100,000 in donations. Every single one of you, every single donation means so much. And again, thank you to our Morning Air family. So yeah, you can see the photo of me smiling from ear to ear in front of the roses of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe right there on our Twitter page, as well as on Facebook. So, again, congratulations to you, our listeners. This is your network, and we so much appreciate it. Glenn, we have a couple of headlines you're keeping an eye on this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I guess that picture, John, proved that Mrs. Morales knows that you know where the florist is. So that's good for her to know, too. Yeah, a couple of things going on. Scripture talks about always wars and rumors of wars will always be with us. The war in Ukraine, some shelling near the biggest nuclear power plant in Europe. And that's in Ukraine, controlled by Russia right now. But the U.S. Talking with allies and hoping everyone can avoid any further conflict that might result in a nuclear accident there. And then elsewhere in the Pacific, the U.S. and South Korea holding the largest live military drills in about 5 years. Of course, that neighborhood recently a little excited over Speaker Pelosi's visit to Taiwan, with China holding military drills near there just a week or so ago. And so, a couple of corners of the world that still need to be bathed in our prayer, guys.
Absolutely. That's the name of the game here on Relevant Radio and on our show. We always start with prayer. Thanks, Glenn and Sarah, as always. Thanks for all your hard work and for your encouragement. I want to mention this morning and let you know that the mom that we prayed for last week, Molly Kurt, we prayed for her during the Divine Mercy Chaplet with Drew Mariani and the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky. Well, she died on Friday morning after a long and valiant battle with cancer. Molly was a great friend of Relevant Radio and of Morning Air, a personal friend as well. Her son and my son are in the same class at Northridge Prep. They started together as little guys at Embers many years ago. Please keep Molly and her family in your prayers this week. She leaves behind four children and her husband, John, who will miss her very much. May Molly rest in peace. And we begin, as always, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air whenever we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the playbook of life this morning is from John 14:6. Jesus the Lord says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no salvation in any other name other than the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which we must be saved. So we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Once again, our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. Again, you can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook, and our email. Always, you can send us an email directly, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, today, the Catholic Church is celebrating the memorial in honor of the Queenship of Mary. This memorial is placed during an octave that is 8 days after celebrating Mary's Assumption, body and soul, into heaven. The Queenship of our Blessed Mother can be considered a prolongation of the celebration of the Assumption. What is the relationship between the Queenship of Mary and Christ the King? Joining us live for much more on the Queenship of Mary is our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, the pastor of St. Isaac Joe's Parish in Hinsdale, Illinois, the Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain known as the baseball priest, and a long-time Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Burke. Thanks so much for joining us. Always a blessing to be with you once again.
Thanks, John. Always great to be with you as well. Last week we talked about the Assumption, and this week you say to finish the octave, if you will, meaning 8 days of celebration. Any feast in the church, big feast, there's usually an octave of an 8 day celebration. So last week we celebrated the Assumption, Mary being assumed body and soul into heaven, and today we celebrate her queenship.
Father Burke, can you explain for us what is the meaning of today's feast, the queenship of Mary?
Sure. And so this was a feast that was officially established in 1954, but it doesn't mean that's when we started believing it. Just like the Assumption, the dogma of the Assumption was officially promulgated in 1950, it was something that the church has believed from, the beginning, right from the time of Jesus. So first of all, with this feast day today, the Queenship of Mary, having a queen kind of points to we have a king. And you alluded to it, John, that Jesus is the king of the universe. He's the king of heaven and earth. He's creator of everything. And so Mary, as the mother of Jesus, is considered the queen. Some of the scriptural background. So if we look to the Annunciation, which we celebrate on March 25th, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, and he says that this son that she's going to bear will receive the throne of David and rule forever. So we know that King David, the Messiah, would come from his line, and we can trace Jesus's lineage through King David. So Jesus would become king in that line of David, but not have a temporary rule, but rule forever. And then when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, Elizabeth says that Mary is the mother of my Lord. So this pointing, Mary being the mother of the Lord Jesus, so she's the queen mother. And we know that the queen mother had influence. If you look at the first book of Kings, chapter 2, Bathsheba is reverenced by King Solomon. She's the queen mother, and the queen mother always had a lot of influence. And so we celebrate this day as the queenship of Mary as this day where Mary, listens to the petitions of all of us and raises those petitions to her son. So every feast day of Mary is always a feast day of Jesus. It's in relation to her son, the king of the universe.
Yeah, we see also that this feast is deeply rooted in Scripture, as you just alluded to, and obviously in the book of Revelation, something that we also talked about last week for the Feast of the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother, we see this image of a woman clothed with the sun with a crown of 12 stars. Again, another allusion to the Blessed Mother as our Queen. She's the mother of the King of Kings.
Exactly. Yeah. Revelation 12, starting the first verse, a great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And what happens from this, it alludes to this cosmic battle, as this woman who's clothed with the sun and a crown of 12 stars gives birth. The dragon's waiting to consume this child. And so Mary as queen is part of this this battle, if you will, between good and evil. And so when we pray the rosary, for example, it's one of our great spiritual weapons. She is always pointing us to her son, who is the king, and also the victor. We know that Jesus has won the victory and reigns forever. And then from Scripture, you have, some of the early church fathers. So again, this didn't start in 1954. Saint Ephrem in the fourth century refers to Mary as Our Lady and Our Queen. We have the hymns from the 11th and 13th century addressed to Mary, Hail Holy Queen, that hymn that, we all know, that's from the 11th century. Hail Queen of Heaven, another hymn, just the Queen of Heaven. So this isn't something that the church pulled out, almost 70 years ago. It's something that we believed and practiced for a long time.
Pope Pius XII said this about today's feast. We commend that on the festival there be renewed the consecration of the human race to the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He was really encouraging us to renew our love and consecration of our Blessed Mother.
It's so true. And, I'm a convert to the faith. And one of the struggles I had coming into the church was the role of Mary. I always thought Mary is almost worshipped as a goddess. And then as I studied the faith and started to see what Mary's role really is, that in God's supreme wisdom, he gives us a mother. I lost my mother to cancer 24 years ago. And knowing that I have a Heavenly Mother who's the Queen Mother, who intercedes for me, who's praying for me, who's leading me to her Son, Jesus, just gives me such consolation. And when the light bulb went on for me was that reference to Bathsheba and King Solomon in 1 Kings. When I saw that King Solomon says he reverenced no one but the Queen Mother. And then he brought a chair next to his throne. That's where Bathsheba sat, the Queen Mother. And her role was to listen to the prayers of the people. And then she whispered them in the ear of her son. And it said her son couldn't deny petitions that came from his mother. And that's when the light bulb went on for me. I thought, wow, that's Mary's role. She is always interceding for us. She's raising up our prayers to her son, saying, you know, our children, you know, our children need you. And if you think about it from the cross, Jesus says, a woman, you know, and some people think that's offensive. He says, woman, behold your son, about John, and John, behold your mother. That woman refers to Eve in Genesis, you know, through Eve, through Adam and Eve, sin came into the world. Through Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, redemption comes. And so Mary has this beautiful role in salvation, always leading us to Jesus.
And we meditate on this glorious feast of today, the coronation of our Blessed Mother, the Queenship of Mary, as the fifth glorious mystery. Just like last week, we also pray on the Feast of the Assumption. We remember the fourth glorious mystery of the Assumption of the Blessed Mother. So these are our two feasts in two consecutive Mondays that we also honor during our prayer of the Rosary.
Absolutely. And as you say that, I'm thinking, you know, when I take groups to the Holy Land, we visit many of the sites, almost all of the sites that of the mysteries of the Rosary. And someone on one of the recent trips who wasn't Catholic, and she said, wow, as I come to the Holy Land, I realize the prominent role of Mary in salvation. And so we would pray the Rosary every day on the bus, and we get to that, the Assumption and the Queenship of Mary. She's like, it all starts to make sense now, where, you know, Mary has been she's had a prominent role in the history and the story of salvation. So I found that powerful coming from someone who wasn't Catholic.
Absolutely. And I also always remember that our Blessed Mother's role, not only as our queen, but also as our mother, is to point us to her son. She says at Cana, do whatever he tells you. And that's something that we always keep in mind. That she's always leading us to her son. The glory is for Jesus.
Amen. And, you know, whenever she has appeared in different places around the world, she's never saying, you know, pointing to herself and saying, look at me. Her messages are always, you know, build a church to my son here, worship my son, look at him, he's the way, he's, as we heard yesterday at Mass, you know, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Jesus is the gate, he's the doorway to heaven. And so she's always leading us to him who leads us to salvation, to redemption, to heaven.
And we also are reminded of this month, the month of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to renew our love and our devotion to the Blessed Mother, especially in this month here, in which we see these two beautiful feasts in back-to-back Mondays.
Yes, again, coming from a non-Catholic background, why do Catholics worship, you know, or venerate the hearts, you know, and it's not just the part of the body, but it's the heartbeat is that place where, you know, where love traditionally is seated. And when we celebrate the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, what we're what we're really looking at is the love of God, the love that God has for us. And, you know, and I think about the love that my mother, my earthly mother, had for me. I think, wow, that's the greatest love I've ever experienced in life. You know, how much more does Mary, who is the mother of Jesus, our Queen Mother, you know, how much does she love me? And so when we honor and venerate her heart, wow, this is what love looks like. And as we receive love, we receive that unconditional love of Jesus and of our Blessed Mother. They then kind of shape and transform our hearts to be able to love others in that way, to love sacrificially as both Jesus and Mary did. You know, Simeon told Mary, you know, the son of yours is going to be the cause of the rise and fall of many, and a sword will pierce your heart. And so we know that the passion and death of Jesus, that sword pierced Mary's heart, but she knew that something greater was going to come from this. And her love kept her close to the cross. And then, of course, 3 days later, the resurrection and the source of our joy and salvation occurred.
Jesus is our King. Our Blessed Mother is our Queen. Saint Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, the great doctor of the church, said this about Mary. We know well that the Blessed Virgin is the Queen of heaven and earth, but she is more mother than queen.
Yeah, absolutely. That mature. Sometimes we can think of a queen with a crown, very distant and you know, not loving, but as you say, when you think of a mother, you think of that maternal love. I think of the queenship of Mary as this, she has, you know, she has her eyes over the whole world. And in her motherly role, she's, you know, caring for us and leading us to her son. So it's such beautiful teachings of the church.
Well, Father Burke, as always, I really appreciate your spiritual direction and your teachings on our Blessed Mother. Thanks so much for being with us here on this Feast of the Queenship of Mary.
Always a joy, John. Blessings to you and to all your listeners.
Thanks so much. Father Burke Masters, the baseball priest, longtime Morning Air contributor. We need to take a short break when we come back. Adult and pediatric infectious disease, Dr. Bob Tabali will join us for the latest on the COVID vaccines and masks as the kids all across our country are getting ready to go back to school. So stay with us as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Open the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you this morning here on this Monday. Thank you once again for an amazing Answer the Call Summer Pledge Drive. Once again, we made our goal of $3 million late Friday night. With the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary in this month dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, there's no doubt that all of those memoraries absolutely helped. If you, for whatever reason, missed last week's pledge drive and you feel called to be able to answer the call, for whatever reason, if you couldn't contribute last week, you can still make a tax-deductible donation by calling 877-291-0123, or you can give online at relevantradio.com. or through the Relevant Radio app. A number, if you want to be part of the show this morning, 888-914-9149. Now I want to talk about the latest with COVID and the monkeypox virus. As students go back to school in states like California and New York, some school authorities are still encouraging mask mandates in kids. In fact, in a shocking story, last Thursday, a California four-year-old boy was kicked out of school for not wearing a mask. And so you wonder, how in the world is this following the science? Also, we have seen the concern concern of schools with monkeypox outbreaks. Why are people so worried about kids getting monkeypox? And CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky told Fox News she acknowledges mistakes in handling COVID.
What this pandemic taught us and showed us is that now we need to talk to the American people. We need to say what we know, when we know it, provide timely data, and give people updates along the way. And yes, that also means telling people what we don't know as we're making decisions.
Joining us live this morning is Relevant Radio contributor Dr. Bob Tabali for the latest on back-to-school vaccine and mask mandates, the CDC, and the truth about monkeypox. Dr. Tabali practices adult and pediatric infectious diseases in the northwest suburbs of Chicago with Germ Busters. He's an assistant clinical professor of medicine at the University of Illinois. Dr. Tabali is board certified in internal medicine and infectious diseases and, of course, a regular contributor in the afternoon to the Drew Mariani Show. If you have a question for Dr. Tabali about COVID or monkeypox, we are taking your calls this morning, 888-914-9149. Good morning, Dr. Tabali. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's always great to be with you.
Good morning, John. Thank you for having me, and it's great to be with you on this very, very special feast day. Thank you.
Absolutely. Dr. Tabali, can you give us an update here as we are wrapping up the month of August? It's hard to believe that, you know, 2.5 years later, we're still talking about COVID, but it's still in play. What's the latest on the mask and vaccine mandates, especially for kids going back to school as they are here in the public schools in the Chicago area and many other parts of the country?
Well, as we get ready for children to go back to school across the country, COVID is kind of everywhere. It's the new, you know, most infectious to date, BA4, BA5 variant that is causing illness. My experience is that virtually everyone that's been admitted to the hospital, with one exception, over 100 patients that I've cared for, everyone has been vaccinated. So no non-vaccinated people in the hospital. Now, what does this mean? I'm not sure, but that's just been a recent experience. The CDC, kind of mimicking the church lady from Saturday Night Live, saying, never mind. Never mind about the vaccine mandates that we were pushing a number of months and over the past couple of years. They did retract from any position that vaccines halt the spread of the virus. What we now know pretty clearly, the current vaccines they do prevent serious illness and death, but they don't prevent transmission. We just recently had an outbreak in the hospital where I work, where a number of hospital employees were infected. They were all vaccinated by a vaccinated family member of a patient visiting the hospital. So the patient, a number of nurses and other staff were infected. They were all vaccinated. So we do know that vaccination doesn't prevent spread. However, at the central government level, the central government is saying that, but states and localities have the power to enforce their own level of mandates. And this does not mean that there's going to be uniform backing away from vaccine mandates. In fact, we really haven't seen that. So one arm of the government, the CDC, is saying this, but still the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services are still mandating vaccine mandates that are tightly regulated at every center that takes Medicare and Medicaid dollars. Mask mandates. Well, there have been some recent pretty good studies that have shown recently that people that come in contact with COVID on a regular basis, you can think healthcare workers on a COVID ward, that those people that come into contact regularly and frequently do benefit from wearing masks. And the less high quality and the less commonly they wear masks, the more commonly they get infected with COVID. And again, you know, we know that vaccines don't prevent you from getting COVID, but they do prevent serious illness and death. So Mask wearing in healthcare facilities is probably not going to go away for a very, very long time. But in schools, there's an accumulated evidence that masks wearing by children actually blunts and stymies their emotional and psychosocial growth. So is there going to be a top-down decision-making process that says masks are going to go away in schools? No, there's not. It's going to be a local a decision based by the school board and the people that are actually there in, you know, on the ground in your school district, probably facilitated by feedback from parents and interested parties. There's no simple answer to this. They're, you know, it appears that they're winding down with a lot of the things that have been instituted in order to try to, force people to wear masks and force people to get vaccinated. But does this mean that people that lost their jobs because they were vaccinated are not going to regain them? No. The military is still are discharging 40,000 40,000 Special Reserve, that they call up on a regular basis, troops. I haven't had my coffee yet. And they're discharging hundreds of U.S. fighter pilots because they haven't been vaccinated either. So is this a ploy, just prior to the election to make everybody feel like COVID was successfully treated by the current administration and everybody should continue to vote for them and their party? I don't know. But at least this is a step in the right direction, I think.
There are so many questions. I'm sure our listeners have questions this morning. I scratch my head. I just can't understand how some schools are still making little tiny kids wear masks. We saw the story of that four-year-old in California last week that was literally sent home along with his dad. They sent him home from school, kicked out because he wasn't wearing a mask. The numbers and the science. What does the numbers and the science say about the way that young children are still being forced to wear masks in many places across our country?
Well, with the Omicron variant that basically reached into every nook and cranny of America and affected nearly virtually everyone in America, there were an increased number of children that got COVID and symptomatic COVID. A lot of them had underlying illnesses such as, asthma and other illnesses. There were more children that actually passed away during the Omicron variant surge. And many of these children had other underlying issues that, contributed to the severity of the COVID. But on the whole, young children, do very well if they get COVID, meaning they don't get very sick. It's very much like another cold for them. And we do know in years past how frequently children in school, pass things around. There's something going around in school right now, and Johnny's got to stay home with a fever, and he goes back to school in a couple of days. There's a lot of evidence that kids don't get very sick and that, vaccination for children is associated with possibly higher risk than getting COVID. That doesn't mean to say that children with underlying immune deficiencies, cancer, organ transplants, shouldn't get vaccinated. Those children should be vaccinated without question. But for the average young person, a child with no underlying medical problems, the whole consideration to vaccinate them is really kind of a no benefit situation. So vaccines don't really offer much of any benefit at all, and they do expose the child to some risk associated with the vaccine. Masks coming from all over the literature about the psychosocial development of children. They need to see other kids' faces. They don't feel good about themselves, and it's really kind of an ongoing difficult tragedy to enforce these mask mandates for children.
Yeah, Dr. Tabali, there was a recent study out of Europe about kids being forced to wear masks, and these researchers found unsafe carbon dioxide levels reached after just 3 minutes of masks wearing in kids. And then so the question is, how come this is really not being talked about? It's not being reported.
Well, not only that, but there was an alarming study about a year ago about the bacteria that line the inside of the mask. And the children, when they're very young, you know, they commonly exchange things like, you want to wear my baseball glove? Okay, I'll wear yours. You want to wear my mask? Okay, I'll wear yours. But the number of pathogenic bacteria on the inside lining of the mask was tremendous. And it's, you know, what can anyone say? It's a value judgment, and it's which side of the science do you want to give more weight to? Do you want to give more weight to the psychosocial development of children, or do you want to give more weight to the potential that the masks offer a minimal, at best, very minimal, sense of security against the transmission of virus? There's no question that the masks help prevent the spread of strep throat. Things like walking pneumonias like mycoplasma and chlamydia, they're all droplet transmitted. The masks benefit that. And now that a lot of people are not wearing masks, we're seeing a significant rise in the incidence of bacterial pneumonias and walking pneumonias and so on. But the masks offer very, very limited benefit for, if any, for acquiring COVID. They appear to be more effective in preventing somebody with COVID from giving it to other people. But in most situations, those folks might not be in school due to, you know, fever, headache, sore throat, other symptoms that they might be kept home for. So.
Well, Dr. Tabali, I want to talk a little bit about natural immunity as well, but we need to take a break. We can talk about it on the other side. If you have a question this morning, if you want to be part of the conversation with Dr. Bob Tabali, you can give us a call, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with infectious disease Dr. Bob Tabali. Stay with us. There's more to come on Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Looking at life from a Catholic worldview, this is Morning Air.
And welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us this morning as we continue our conversation with adult and pediatric infectious disease Dr. Bob Tabali with Germ Busters. And we're talking about vaccines and masks as kids are heading back to school. Dr. Tabali, welcome back.
Great to be with you.
Wanted to get your take on what is the latest that we know about natural immunity in relation to the vaccines.
Well, what's happening now, the CDC is acknowledging that natural immunity is very important or very substantial. They're also recommending that people not be categorized into vaccinated or unvaccinated positions, that you know, exposure is not modified by whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. And it appears that they're acknowledging, although not stated so, but it appears that they're acknowledging that there's a very substantial amount of natural immunity in the community.
What took them so long, Doctor? That's the thing that goes through my... What in the world took them so long to finally acknowledge this scientific fact?
I've wondered the same thing about many people throughout my life, John, and I'm sure you have as well. And there were certain reasons that maybe biased or put a lens on the information. You know, the people in Sweden are laughing all the way Sweden, you know, never opted for significant quarantines or shutdowns or anything like that. And they opted to have the natural immunity model. And they've actually done quite well, you know, after they had, you know, pretty severe waves, the first couple of waves with coronavirus. They've done very well, and they really haven't had an issue. Most of the countries around the world have totally abandoned, you know, a lot of the things that have been instituted to try to prevent the spread of coronavirus. You know, the United States is one of the last to come to that party. And we still lag behind Western Europe, which does almost nothing right now at all regarding COVID.
Your take on Dr. Rochelle Walensky, the director of the CDC, you know, coming out and making these comments, acknowledging that there were failures from the CDC in the way that they handled the COVID pandemic.
Well, unfortunately, in my professional career, you know, the CDC has been above reproach, you know. And unfortunately, it appears to be another center of a political action. And, you know, they're retreating from everything that was happening before, even not so much what the CDC was saying, but the real mouthpiece was, you know, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx. And Dr. Birx a few weeks ago, you know, acknowledged that she knew that vaccines would never help prevent the spread. You know, she acknowledged that before the CDC came out with their new retracted from previous directives statements. And Michelle Walensky says that the CDC did so bad that now they have to reform it. You know, that frightens me a bit because, you know, what they used to be, what they were, you know, 8 years ago or 6 years ago or even 3 years ago was an objective, pretty much objective people making objective decisions about, you know, findings of fact. And I fear they're going to reform themselves into a more politically active player. In public health, one of the main tenets of public health is not really so much to relay, you know, the state-of-the-art information that you know, but to try to allay fear in the community. You know, I've seen that play out over, you know, really serious epidemics serious outbreaks of illness in the community. But, I mean, if you want to have evidence of what is political action, what am I talking about? Well, you know, monkeypox. Monkeypox started in a couple of large gatherings of men who have sex with men in Europe. You know, one on the Sandwich Islands, about 80,000 people, and one in Antwerp, Belgium, which was a, quote, open quote, fetish fest, close quote. And the spread of monkeypox has been propelled by similar gatherings and gatherings that, despite the fact that they acknowledge that close skin-to-skin contact among men who have sex with men, and at these gatherings, men who have sex with many different men, despite the fact that they acknowledge that that happens, you know, still telling people to come and enjoy themselves at these fests. There was a recent one in San Francisco. You know, back in the, you know, the playbook is exactly the same that happened with HIV. You know, we didn't recognize HIV for a long time. Monkeypox, there's skin lesions. And in all honesty, this monkeypox that we're facing is not that serious an illness. It's less serious than chickenpox, probably. There's another variant of monkeypox that has a much higher death rate. But the fact is that this monkeypox spread has been completely propelled by, you know, large gatherings of same-sex individuals who have sex with men who have sex with men, and not only that, men who have sex with many men, and men who have, you know, a lot of contact with a lot of other men, you know, skin-to-skin contact. And more than 95% of the cases in the United States are gay and bisexual men, And there are a number of cases that of these folks that have contact with other people. A case in Europe where one couple, a gay male couple that had a dog, the dog got monkeypox. And there's a couple of children that have come in contact with people. And there's a number of women that have been in contact with bisexual men. But there's been a window of opportunity to shut this down, you know, 2 weeks to stop the spread. I mean, if you know, could you try serial monogamy for like a month or something like that, or you know, not going to these big raves and things like that, or shut those things down as a matter of public health. But the CDC has been completely 100%, 150% silent on the matter. And is that the new political CDC that we're going to see? I mean, you know, they're ready to shut down society for an illness that you could not control, or, you know, you could not prevent from spreading. But we can't ask one segment of society to refrain from untethered sexual passion for even a short period of time that could have actually closed this whole monkeypox thing down. So it's not clear if there's going to be kids that get monkeypox and then spread it to other kids in school. But the long and the short of it is that it's not that highly contagious. It is contagious, no question about it. It's nothing like the coronavirus, not even a shadow of the coronavirus in contagiousness. But it's mostly skin-to-skin and droplet spread illness, and not that serious. But unfortunately, because the central government leaders are not taking a heroic stand, because they don't want to offend one of their greatest constituencies on a political nature, then I don't know what to say. I mean, they're just allowing this thing to go unchecked. It's because they don't want to offend the people who are most affected by it right now. So
Dr. Tabali, yeah, final minute that we have. Any advice this morning for parents that might be concerned about monkeypox and also about COVID as the kids head back to school?
Well, monkeypox, not that serious. If your child gets it, it's not as serious as chickenpox. I mean, this variant, your child's not going to turn into a monkey. And it doesn't mean that your child has had contact with anybody in the same-sex community. It just means that, you know, it happened. I hope it doesn't spread in the schools, but it remains to be seen. COVID, if you don't want your children to have masks in your schools, you should get involved and talk to your school boards. I mean, they will listen to the response of the parents, but the teachers' unions want everyone to be masked in order to prevent the teachers from getting COVID, which has been reasonably seen. The teachers don't really get COVID from the kids. They get it from one another, and they get it from home.
Well, Dr. Tabali, we'll have to leave it right there. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. As always, really appreciate it.
And God bless you. God bless all the listeners, and God bless everybody who donated to Relevant Radio during the fund drive.
Thanks so much. Dr. Bob Tabali, adult and pediatric infectious disease doctor with Germ Busters. It's now time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today called The Wisdom of Silence. One of Aesop's fables concerned a turtle who envied the ducks who swam in the pond where he lived. As he listened to them describe the wonders of the world they'd seen, he was filled with a great desire to travel. But being a turtle, he was unable to travel far. Finally, two ducks offered to help him. One of the ducks said, "We'll each hold an end of a stick in our mouths. You hold the stick in the middle with your mouth, and we'll carry you through the air so you can see what we see when we fly. But be quiet, or you'll be sorry." The turtle loved the idea. He took hold of the stick, and away to the sky they went. The ducks flew above the trees and circled around the meadow. The turtle was amazed and overjoyed at his new perspective on the world. He marveled at the flowers on the hillside. And just then a crow flew past. Astonished at the sight of a turtle flying through the air carried by two ducks, he said, "Surely this must be the king of all turtles." "Why, certainly," the turtle began, but as he spoke, he lost his grip on the stick and fell to the ground below. While there are times when we need to speak and take a stand, more frequently we find ourselves in trouble because we may talk too much. Proverbs 17:27-28. Those who spare their words are truly knowledgeable, and those who are discreet are intelligent. Even fools keeping silent are considered wise if they keep their lips closed. Intelligent.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour on Morning Air, former Olympian and world champion skier Rebecca DeSalt will join us to discuss nutrition and the benefits of snacking on grapes. And pediatric psychologist Dr. Jim Schrader will explain what he means by progress of a different kind. Stay with us. Don't change that dial. There's much more to come here on this Monday edition of Morning Air. Next hour on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.